This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Usually, when you talk about the stock market or, you know, the tech industry in general, you kind of expect a certain type of financial gravity to apply, right?
Right. Yeah. Like there are rules.
Exactly. A company grinds away for years. They finally launch a great product. And if their stock goes up, say, 10 or 20%, I mean, that's headline news.
That's a massive win in the normal world. Yeah.
Right. In the normal world. But what if you woke up tomorrow and saw a tech company's stock just completely skyrocketed by 471% on its very first day of trading?
I mean, you'd think it was a typo.
You really would. And what if on that exact same day you heard about this $500 billion circular financing deal that literally has global financial institutions sweating over a potential systemic collapse?
That sounds like fiction, honestly.
It does. And behind all of this, there's a massive geopolitical showdown unfolding over something you can't even see, the so-called weights of an AI brain.
Yeah.
So welcome to a deep dive into a world where financial and technological gravity has just completely broken down.
We are watching, in real time, the construction of an entirely new, incredibly volatile ecosystem.
Yeah.
And it is completely unmoored from the traditional rules of tech development that you and I are used to.
So let's establish our mission for today's deep dive. We are pulling from this incredibly detailed, really exhaustive briefing report that covers China's AI, robotics, semiconductor, and telecom sectors.
It's a massive document.
It really is. And I want to be entirely transparent with you, the listener, about exactly where this granular intelligence is coming from. The source material, along with some razor-sharp commentary we'll be weaving in throughout this discussion, was provided by attorney Kim Kyungjin, former National Assembly member.
Right. And the overarching perspective that attorney Kim Kyungjin provides here is just crucial.
Yeah.
Because this isn't a story about, you know, isolated tech breakthroughs happening in a vacuum. We're looking at four massive pillars. So that's hardware, software, national policy, and just unprecedented capital.
Just astronomical amounts of money.
Exactly. And all four are moving simultaneously at lightning speed to build what is essentially a closed-loop tech empire.
Hardware, software, policy, and capital. So we're going to unpack exactly how those four pillars are colliding right now to fuel this explosion in China's tech market.
And how it's rapidly escalating the tech war with the U.S.
Right. And most importantly, what this all means for you. Because whether you're managing a supply chain, maybe you're investing in tech, or you're just trying to understand where the global economy is actually heading, you need a compass for this storm.
You absolutely do.
So let's start with the physical reality, right? Hardware. Because to understand the massive leaps happening in AI software, we first have to follow this absolute tsunami of capital flooding into Chinese silicon and steel.
The sheer volume of cash here is literally dictating the pace of innovation.
Yeah.
I mean, capital isn't just seeking a normal return on investment here. It's being deployed almost as a geopolitical weapon to build out infrastructure faster than anyone thought was physically possible.
The numbers are just staggering. So on July 27th, a Chinese DRAM manufacturer called Changsun Memory Technologies, or CXMT, they went public on the Shanghai Star Market.
Right.
The offering price was 8.66 yuan. It opened at 49.50 yuan.
Wow.
That is a 471% jump right out of the gate. And it gets crazier. At one point during that day, its market cap crossed 3.31 trillion yuan.
Trillion.
Trillion, yeah. Which temporarily made it the most valuable company on the A-shares market. And the daily trading volume hit 1.22 trillion yuan. That's an all-time record for a single stock.
I mean, just stop and think about the physical mechanics of that for a second. When a single semiconductor company absorbs that much domestic capital in a 24-hour period, it fundamentally changes the physical landscape of the industry.
How so? Exactly.
Well, attorney Kim Kyungjin pointed out that this influx of cash directly dictates the speed of their production line expansion. They could just build endlessly.
Right. It's like a modern-day gold rush, but instead of people rushing out to buy pickaxes and denim jeans, it's silicon and steel. And we are seeing the exact same frenzy in robotics right now. There's this humanoid robot startup called Ajubot.
Yeah, they're moving fast.
Fast is an understatement. They are already initiating a Hong Kong IPO, aiming for a valuation somewhere between $4 and $6.4 billion.
And how old is the company?
Barely 3.5 years old.
It's just wild.
It is. Meanwhile, you have another company called Unitree. They got their STAR Market approval in a record 104 days, and they're looking to raise 4.2 billion yuan. Plus, they just slashed the price of their R1 humanoid robot to 29,900 yuan.
Which is what, roughly?
That's roughly the price of a used Honda Civic for a physical walking AI.
The implications of a price drop like that are massive. But, you know, let's connect this back to your point about CXMT. They currently hold about 7.7% of the global DRAM market.
Right.
So when CXMT builds out endless new factories using that mountain of IPO cash, their production is going to skyrocket.
Yep.
And attorney Kim Kyung-jin notes that mid to long term, this massive wave of Chinese production is going to flood the global market.
Yeah.
It's going to exert intense downward pressure on global DRAM prices.
So that wild 471% stock pop in Shanghai, it isn't just a localized, you know, casino event.
Not at all.
It means that 3 years from now, when you're sourcing memory chips for your company's servers or you're building hardware, the entire global pricing structure is going to be altered by what happened that day.
Exactly. The physical infrastructure, the silicon, it's getting cheaper and much more abundant.
Right.
But of course, silicon is completely useless without a brain to run on it.
Which brings us perfectly to our second topic, the software. Because as China is building out this massive physical hardware base, they are simultaneously pushing the boundaries of AI models aggressively.
And it is creating a massive geopolitical collision with the United States.
Right.
We are officially entering the era of the open weight war.
An open weight war. And this conflict is currently centering around a Chinese AI company called Moonshot AI. So Moonshot recently released the weights for their new model, which is called Kimi K3, on the platform Hugging Face.
And for anyone who isn't, you know, spending their weekends reading dense AI white papers.
Which is most of us, honestly.
Right, most people. You might be wondering what weights actually means. The weights of an AI are essentially the learned connections between its artificial neurons. It's the actual math that makes the model smart.
And Moonshot didn't just release some tiny experimental model. Kimi K3 has 2.8 trillion parameters.
Wow.
It has a context window of 1.04 million tokens, and the raw file size is 1.56 terabytes.
Just to put that parameter count in perspective for you, parameters are kind of like the total number of synapses in the AI's brain. So 2.8 trillion makes it incredibly, incredibly complex.
Yeah.
And that 1.04 million token context window, that means the AI can essentially read, remember, and process a stack of books as tall as you are, all at the exact same time in a single prompt.
It's an absolute monster of a model. And because they put it up on Hugging Face, the immediate reaction from a lot of developers in the West is, this is amazing, free, cutting-edge AI. Let's use it.
Of course, that's the instinct.
But attorney Kim Kyung-jin raised a massive red flag here for any business that's tempted to just hit download on this.
Right, because this is absolutely not a standard open source MIT license where you can just do whatever you want.
No, it is a highly engineered legal trap.
How does it work?
Well, the license stipulates that if your company uses Kimi K3 and your revenue over the last 12 months exceeds $20 million, or if you hit 100 million monthly active users, you are legally required to sign a separate commercial contract with Moonshot.
Oh, wow. So it's a bait and switch.
Exactly.
Right.
And furthermore, you are mandated to prominently display the Kimi K3 logo on your service screens.
I mean, imagine you're a startup founder.
Yeah.
Your engineers integrate this quote unquote free model because it's brilliant. It's cheap. It gets the job done.
Right.
Your app suddenly goes viral. You cross that $20 million revenue threshold.
No.
And literally overnight, Moonshot has you by the throat.
Yep.
You either pay whatever commercial rate they decide to demand, or you face catastrophic litigation and have to shut down your core product.
Which is exactly why supply chain audits are no longer just for physical goods, right? Like, you have to audit your software dependencies now.
100%.
But the controversy around Moonshot, it goes way beyond just licensing traps. This model has sparked a literal geopolitical showdown.
It really has.
So the White House, specifically Michael Kratsios, publicly accused Moonshot AI of two major things. First, he accused them of acquiring embargoed NVIDIA GB300 chips by smuggling them through Thailand.
Which is a huge allegation.
Massive. And second, he accused them of quote-unquote distilling Anthropic's Claude Fable model to build Kimi K3.
And China didn't just take that quietly.
No. China's Ministry of Commerce immediately fired back. They called it a smear campaign and straight up threatened all necessary measures. Just impartial reporting here, both sides are fully escalating this.
And the concept of distillation that Kratsios mentioned, That is the absolute battleground here.
It really is. Let's actually break down what distillation is for you.
Yep.
Imagine a Michelin star chef spends 20 years and millions of dollars perfecting this flawless, incredibly complex recipe.
Okay.
Then an apprentice who never even went to culinary school comes into the restaurant. They taste the dish over and over. They take meticulous notes on the exact flavor profile. And then they use reverse engineering to perfectly recreate the dish in their own kitchen across town.
That's a great way to picture it.
Right. The apprentice didn't actually steal the physical recipe card, but they extracted the intelligence of the chef. That is model distillation. You use the outputs of a brilliant, highly expensive U.S. AI to train a cheaper Chinese AI.
And from the perspective of the U.S. government, this is intellectual property theft on a civilizational scale. They see China just completely bypassing the billions of dollars in R&D that's normally required to build a frontier model.
But here is where I see it. Massive irony in all this. The U.S. government is panicking, right? They're trying to lock down open weight models to prevent this distillation from happening.
Right, yeah.
Yet just recently, 25 major U.S. tech firms, and we're talking heavy hitters, NVIDIA, Microsoft, Meta, they signed a joint letter urging the government to protect open weight AI.
Oh, wow.
They argue it's actually safer than closed systems. So you have the U.S. government and U.S. big tech pulling in violently opposite directions.
It's fascinating. And attorney Kim Kung Jin refers to this as the mirror image paradox.
The mirror image paradox.
Yeah. So the reason big tech wants it open is that open source models commoditize the software layer. Think about it. If everyone uses Meta's open model, Meta gets to set the global industry standard.
Right. And then they sell the ecosystem services around it.
Exactly. But the government views open models entirely through the lens of national security. They're terrified that adversaries will use these models for cyber warfare or to develop bioweapons, things like that.
And China is playing the exact same paradoxical game on their side, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, China is loudly bragging about open sourcing Kimi K3 to the world. They're trying to present themselves as the collaborative, open alternative to the U.S.
Like, look how generous we are.
Exactly. But quietly, behind closed doors, Beijing is actually considering its own export controls to prevent foreign users from downloading their AI weights.
Wow.
So both superpowers are desperately trying to figure out how to keep their own doors securely locked while leaving the other guy's windows wide open.
It is a complete geopolitical mess. So while the U.S. and China fight over the intellectual property of these AI brains, we need to ask a more practical question. How is China physically powering all of this computing without access to NVIDIA's top-tier chips?
Right, because of the embargoes.
Yeah. And the answer requires a radical shift in how we think about infrastructure.
They were essentially turning AI into a public utility. Like, literally.
Yeah. Beijing recently released this 10-point policy on what they call smart agents. And they aren't just giving standard tax breaks to tech companies. They are building what they call token factories and issuing token vouchers to businesses district by district.
So to understand a token factory, think of a municipal water treatment plant.
Okay.
Instead of every single business having to dig its own well to get water, the city just pumps water directly into the pipes. In Beijing, the government is centralizing massive amounts of compute power. They're producing AI tokens, which is just the basic unit of data and AI processes, and they're pumping those tokens directly to businesses.
And the pricing on this is absurd. Like, China Telecom has started selling AI token subscriptions to the general public for 9.9 yuan a month.
9.9 yuan.
Yes. That is less than a cup of coffee for enterprise-grade AI access. And because of this utility model, daily token usage in China has completely exploded. In early 2024, they were processing about 100 billion tokens a day. By March 2026, that number hit 140 trillion tokens daily.
Trillion, that's right.
Yeah, that is a 1,400-fold increase. They are making AI as common and accessible as electricity.
But again, you can't generate electricity without turbines, and you definitely can't generate tokens without chips. China knew they couldn't just rely on smuggled NVIDIA hardware forever.
Enter Huawei. Their Ascend 950 AI chip is now officially in mass production. And according to the report, it is performing at incredibly high levels, but it costs one quarter the price of a comparable NVIDIA chip.
One quarter of the price.
Yeah. And they just debuted the Atlas 950 SuperPod. This thing connects 1,024 of these chips across 16 cabinets into one monstrous supercomputer.
This right here is the holy grail for China. It's hardware independence.
But let me push back on the real-world implications of this for a second. The report mentions that Huawei is planning to bring this Ascend 950 infrastructure to South Korea in Q4.
And they're going to work through local distributors, companies like Hansol and SK Shieldus. So if I am a Korean enterprise and I look at this and I buy this incredibly cheap, very powerful Huawei infrastructure to run my AI, don't I immediately put a giant target on my back?
That is the multi-billion dollar question.
Aren't Korean companies essentially walking right into the crosshairs of U.S. sanctions if they do this?
Attorney Kim Kung-jin was incredibly emphatic about this specific risk. If you were a global company, the temptation to adopt Chinese infrastructure is huge, right? Because the cost savings are just undeniable.
Right. It's a fraction of the cost.
But the exact moment you plug Huawei hardware into your data center, your entire corporate supply chain is contaminated in the eyes of U.S. regulators.
Wow. So you might save 50% on your server costs, but then you get locked out of the U.S. market entirely.
Exactly. You are caught right in the crossfire. And this is why every company listening right now must rigorously map out their supply chain exposure. You have to understand your exposure to export controls from both Washington and Beijing.
Because ignorance is not a legal defense in a tech war.
It definitely isn't.
So we've painted a picture here of China meticulously integrating state policy, raw capital, and cheap compute into this seamless, totally self-contained ecosystem.
Yeah.
It looks terrifyingly efficient. But what about the West? Is the U.S.-led side of this tech war actually standing on solid ground?
Well, this brings us to what might be the most fragile part of the entire global economy right now.
Okay.
We are looking at the West's systemic financial risks. It's basically a trillion-dollar house of cards.
The valuations alone are enough to give you vertigo. So over in China, DeepSeek is currently discussing a second funding round at a $71 billion valuation.
$71 billion.
Right. And they're boasting profit margins of 70 to 80%. Purely because they operate at 1140th, the cost of Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 models.
That's a massive cost advantage.
It is. Moonshot AI is targeting a $50 billion valuation. But as wild as those numbers over there are, the financial engineering happening in the West is genuinely terrifying. Let's talk about that $500 billion circular financing deal I mentioned at the top of the show.
Yeah, we need to dig into that.
Yeah.
This is a web connecting NVIDIA, SK Group, and OpenAI. And it represents a massive concentration of risk.
The structure looks roughly like this. NVIDIA agrees to buy massive quantities of SK Group's high bandwidth memory chips. In return, SK Group takes that exact capital and commits to buying an astronomical amount of NVIDIA's supercomputers.
Right.
And backing up this entire loop is a $250 billion backstop arrangement that involves OpenAI leasing data center space.
I mean, to put it bluntly, this is circular financing on a macroeconomic scale.
Yeah, let me actually break down how circular financing works with a really simple analogy. Imagine you and I are running competing lemonade stands right across the street from each other.
Okay, I like lemonade.
Right. Neither of us actually has any real paying customers walking by, but I have a $100 bill in my pocket. I walk across the street and I buy $100 worth of your lemonade.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Then you take that exact same $100 bill, you walk over to my stand, and you buy $100 of my lemonade.
Okay.
We do this back and forth all afternoon. By the end of the day, our accounting books show that we both made thousands of dollars in revenue. We look like the most successful beverage startups in history.
But no outside money actually entered the system.
Exactly. It's the same $100 bill.
I'm going to push that lemonade analogy a step further because the reality here is actually way more dangerous.
No.
Imagine that the $100 bill you started with was actually loaned to you by a bank, and that bank expects a real return.
Right. With interest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
SK Group is buying NVIDIA chips to build data centers, assuming that OpenAI and others will generate enough end-user revenue to eventually pay for that server space. Uh-huh. And NVIDIA is buying SK memory chips to keep the whole AI narrative going. It is a closed loop of cash, and it's fueled by the fear of missing out.
Yeah.
But if the bank, or in this case, the broader market, suddenly realizes that the end consumers just aren't buying enough AI software to justify these massive infrastructure costs,
yeah,
the music stops.
And the market is starting to hear the music slow down. We just saw NVIDIA's five-year credit default swap, or CDS, spike by 0.14 percentage points to 0.82 percentage points in a single day.
That's significant.
It's the largest daily jump since they began trading. For those unfamiliar, a CDS is essentially default insurance.
So when the price of that insurance spikes abruptly, it means institutional investors are suddenly terrified that the company might not actually be able to pay its debts.
It's the financial equivalent of a smoke alarm going off in the building.
Yeah.
Institutions like the IMS and the Bank for International Settlements, they are now officially flagging this web of AI financing as a global systemic risk. And attorney Kim Kung-jin highlights that because SK Group is such a foundational pillar in this specific $500 billion loop, any tremor could trigger massive contract disputes. If one party misses a payment, the cascading regulatory and financial fallout would just ripple through the entire global economy.
I mean, we started out this deep dive talking about AI capabilities, but it turns out we're actually watching a bomb disposal unit trying to defuse a financial explosive.
It's all connected. You really cannot separate the capability of the technology from the capital structures that are funding it.
All right. Well, as we bring this deep dive in for a landing, let's synthesize what we've uncovered today.
We are essentially watching a dual-track world being built in real time.
Yeah.
On one side, you have China. They're integrating capital, national policy hardware, and open-weight software into this seamless, ruthlessly efficient ecosystem. They're basically turning AI into cheap public infrastructure. On the other side, the U.S.-led coalition is struggling to maintain its technological lead while at the same time grappling with these dizzying valuations and a highly precarious circular financial loop that literally has the world's central banks on high alert.
It is a lot to navigate, but attorney Kim Kung-jin laid out three crucial checks for anyone who's trying to survive and thrive in this landscape.
Right.
First, before your engineers integrate any open-weight model like Kimi K3, you must verify the licensing agreements down to the letter. Do not trigger a commercial trap by accident.
Absolutely crucial.
Second, map out your entire supply chain. You must know exactly where you have exposure to both U.S. and Chinese export controls.
Yep.
And third, prepare your strategic stance right now for alternative infrastructure options, like Huawei's arrival in Q4. You need a solid plan before that cheap hardware actually hits your desk.
Because you apply those three checks, you move from being a potential victim of this tech war to an informed participant.
And that brings me back to where we started the breakdown of gravity. Everything right now is moving fast, prices are crashing, capabilities are just soaring, and capital is spinning in circles.
It's chaos.
It is chaos. But amidst all of this, there is one absolute certainty. AI computing power is going to become as cheap and commoditized as electricity or internet access.
Without a doubt.
We are rapidly approaching a world where a single token costs a fraction of a cent. So I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you look at your own business and your own investments.
Okay.
As this technology becomes an invisible everyday utility, will the true winners of the AI revolution actually be the companies spending billions to build the smartest models? Or will the ultimate victors be the infrastructure architects who figure out how to sit at the toll booth, quietly taxing the trillions of tokens that you and I will eventually rely on to do our daily jobs?
That is the real question.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the consensus, keep looking at the underlying structures, and we will catch you next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
For more from the same network, follow Daily AI News from Seoul on Apple Podcasts.